This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
We're going to start a new series tonight. I think you're going to enjoy this. You might enjoy the title, if nothing else. We're going to do a little study of the book of James. And this series is rated M for mature. Now, let me explain that, because some of you are about ready to take your children out. Which wouldn't be a bad idea. We've got a wonderful children's church. But paid commercial. But hey, listen, I believe in our children's church. If you realize how good they were, you'd have your kid in there all the time. We do a great job. So we're going to start one on the book of James. Now, I don't want you to get discouraged, because we're going to get through verses 1 through 4 tonight. Now, don't get discouraged like going, oh my gosh, Jesus will come back before we finish the book of James, knowing Alan. No. I can assure you we're not going to get through the whole book. We may do good to get through a chapter. But I just thought every now and then it's good just take a passage and take some passages out of a book, and we'll go through that. Now, as we talk about James, I want you to get excited about it, but James is called the Proverbs of the New Testament. He don't play. And he's very straightforward. And that's why I call this, is why this is a Wednesday night series. And this is why I call this M for Mature. It's not going to be like, but it's going to be pretty straightforward. And it's good stuff. But how many of you think we're ready as a church to move on to some stuff that's pretty straightforward and good stuff? And so at least you ought to feel like, yeah, well, that's Wednesday night, people. We're ready to take this thing forward. And so let's pray, and we do. As we pray, we're not just praying to take up time. We're praying, Lord, we want you to speak to our hearts. Lord, we want you to speak through Alan. Lord, we want to receive something tonight that will help us in our growth. So you ready to do that? Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight, and we appreciate so much your word, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is the wonderful teacher. So, Father, we open up our hearts big. Teach us, show us, reveal things to us. Help us, Lord. We want to be more like Jesus. We want to be a blessing to the people around us. So, Father, we trust you for that. We, in our faith, we use that tonight. And we, in faith, believe we'll receive something good from you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Give you some background study on James. James was the oldest half-brother of Jesus. James was one that grew up with James and Joseph. And I think, who was the other ones? Jesus had like five, I think, brothers and sisters. And I understand this is my quirky sense of humor, but can you imagine growing up with Jesus as your older brother? Jesus who never missed it. Jesus who was perfect. Some of you like, I had a brother like that. No, I'm talking about Jesus never missed it. I mean, if you're James, you're like, oh, great. Jesus, he's perfect. Jesus' family did not really receive him until later. And it was really after the cross and the resurrection where you see Jesus' family come in. This is Jesus' family. At one point in time, they tried to get him to come out. They thought he'd kind of gone crazy. Now, you think you're having trouble with your family. This is Jesus, and he has trouble with his family. But James saw Jesus after the resurrection. James was part of that group of 120 who were waiting for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and was there on the day of Pentecost. And so James had to make a revelation that Jesus was not just his older brother, that Jesus was the Son of God and the Messiah. And James made an adjustment. And so after James made an adjustment, he became a very prominent leader in the Jerusalem church. In fact, many people think that James was the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. James was the one who, when they had a big argument about if the Gentiles could come into Christ, many of you don't realize, most of us don't have a Jewish background. But initially, after Jesus was raised from the dead, the Jews were only preaching the gospel to other Jews. And it took something to get them out of, and really, it took some hard times, really, to even get them out of Jerusalem, where they scattered all over the place and began to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, and they were amazed when the Gentiles were getting saved. Because a lot of the Jews, they still had that Jewish religion thought that only the Jews could be saved. And when the Gentiles started getting saved, it really freaked them. And James was one of the ones that brought real wisdom to a council at Jerusalem. It's in Acts chapter 15. And James was the one, when they were all debating this, it was James who called attention to the scriptures, who brought them to the place, and they were able to make that decision that even the Gentiles could come in, and all of us ought to be glad. So James had a real key part. They call it again, his message was, when you see this phrase, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad, he's talking to Jewish believers. And so even though he's talking to Jewish believers, you say, well, that lets me out. No, it doesn't let you out. Because he's talking to people who have made decisions for Christ, one family. But he was called to reach more of the Jewish believers. Paul was called to reach more of the Gentiles. Different people have different graces. And so you just have to operate the grace that God's given you. James had a grace to reach Jewish people. And so that's where he stayed. He's very effective in that. And the focus of James' book, if you read the book, it's a good book. Just read the book. His focus is on the actions involved in the Christian lifestyle. James is the faith with his famous passage is faith without works is dead. James is also the one that talks about the power of the tongue and warns us. And so he's big on that. James is a pastor. He has lived with people. He's seen what the tongue can do. And so he has a very good perspective. And so as you read the book of James, like I said, we won't get through the whole book. We'll change before then. But let's just start off and let's see where the Lord takes us. He starts off right out of the gate. He does not waste time. He gets right to it. So let's read James 1:1-4. It says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. That's the Jews. Greetings. Greetings. My brethren, here he comes. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or perseverance. But let patience or perseverance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. He didn't waste any time, did he? Greetings. Count it all joy. Now, this is why I'm talking, why I said this is a mature audience. Because now we're talking about how do we handle difficult times and trouble. And James gives us a passage that the Christian world has been challenged by for years. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that I have done this passage perfectly for the time I've walked with the Lord. But I will tell you this. I'm developing in it. So anytime you see a passage and you go, what? Count it all joy when I'm going through problems, when I'm going through difficulties. Don't get hung up. Don't go, I can't do that. Say, Lord, help me do what you say I can do. Help me get there. So let's talk a little bit about this because he's talking about going through tough times and how do you go through tough times. Joy and I have often talked about in the past that, believe it or not, in pastoring the Ark, occasionally we have gone through tough times. Y'all look surprised. Listen, if you're involved with people, you get to go through tough. If you're living and breathing and you have interactions with other humans, you will have some challenging times. If you've raised children, you have challenging times. If you're around children, you will have challenging times. All of us are going to do it. Joy and I have often said, if we had to list one of our regrets, is not that we went through those times, it's how we went through those times. And what James is talking about is, he's talking about a whole different perspective of how to go through tough times. And he's writing Jewish believers. And a lot of these Jewish believers, guys, you have to understand, they became Christians. And so they basically said, no, we're not going to be under the law. We're going to worship Jesus. He is our Savior. He is our Messiah. The Jewish world didn't go, wow, what a great idea. And there were a lot of Jews that persecuted Jewish believers. But not only did you have the fact that the Jews were persecuting you, if you also were a believer in Jesus Christ, you were living in a heathen world. And they didn't worship your God. And they didn't believe in Jesus. And so they got persecution from all kinds of areas. These were people that went through some problems. And when James writes them, he says, guys, I want you to count it all joy. Now, I don't know about you, but is that the first thing that comes to your mind when you go through a problem? You have a problem, most of us don't go, praise God, I'm going to count it all joy. It's like, no, they do that in the movies, Alan. Do real people do it? Yeah, and there's a reason that real people do it. One, it didn't say feel like it's all joy. You go through a problem, every one of us go through problems. Very few of us ever just go, praise God, I'm going through a problem. I feel so good about it. I just love it. Man, my whole work's blowing up. Yeah, family's giving me a hard time. It's wonderful. Really enjoy. Hope I have some more. Y'all with me? Not me. Y'all act like y'all never had problems. Y'all ever have problems? You know why? You know why this lost y'all? I can tell I lost you because you're like, your mind went to your problem right then. I got all these problems. Come on back. Just for a little bit. Come back. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're not going to think about our problems. And you're like, well, are you going to make us be happy and stand up and praise God about our problems? No, I'm not going to do that. We're not going to force you to do anything. But what we're saying is, if James is saying this and the Bible says this, we're going to find that if we can begin to count it all joy, in other words, I'm going to count. And by the way, that word count means to esteem it or regard it. It's not an emotional decision. It's not a feeling. It's a choice. But if I'm going to go through this, I'm going to count it all joy because I know something. And so I want you to stay with me because you're thinking, man, I am not happy about my problems, Alan. I don't like them. I don't like what they've done. I don't like what they're doing. They're tearing up my family. I don't like these things. Right. But here's the deal is we can go through them, but how you go through them is going to make the world a difference. Y'all stay with me? Don't cut me off. I feel the brakes slamming all over the place. Just stay with me now. Take the brake off, and we're going to get there. We're going to laugh. Y'all just tightened up. You're like, yeah. He's really going to get on us. No. No, we're going to learn. Count it all joy. It's a position we adopt, not a feeling we follow. Why do we do this? Ultimately, it positions us better to win in the end. It's going to prepare us to persevere. That's another word people don't like. And because joy strengthens us. Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, verse 10. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Guys, the joy of the Lord can strengthen you, not just when everything is great and you have no problems. You need the joy of the Lord when things are difficult, when things are not going good, and that joy could rise up in your heart and you go, I might be going through a tough time, but I know God's with me. I know He will help me. I will come through this. That's why I can have some joy. And it's a difference. You say, well, I wish that would rise up in my heart because right now I'm ready to shoot somebody. I don't feel good about this. Well, that's why we're going to mature and we're going to count it all joy and we're going to take a different perspective on this. Now, he said, you count it all joy. And by the way, when you were going through trials, here's the trials. I'm talking about the persecutions. I'm talking about problems that we encounter. I am not talking about sickness and disease. I want you to listen to me. Now, I realize some of you have been taught differently. And I'm not down on you if you've been taught differently. I'm going to say, think about this. Think about how when Jesus was on the earth, He never caused anyone to be sick. But everywhere Jesus went, He healed the sick and delivered the oppressed, didn't He? Mm-hmm. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He hasn't changed. I know some people say, well, Alan, I'm suffering the sickness for the glory of God. No, actually, James addresses that later on. Carrie, I don't know if you have access to pull it up. If you do, put up James 5, 14, and 15. Same book. And you want to understand that because I've seen what sickness has done to my family. And I remember watching my wife crawl. Let me read this. I'll talk about it. Any of you sick? Is any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you've committed any sins, you'll be forgiven. Isn't that a good promise? He said, if you're sick, he didn't say just suffer through it. He said, hey, if you're sick, he said, why don't you call for the elders, leaders of the church? At the end of services, we have people up here who will pray with you. And if you want to come down and go, I'm tired of being sick, I want you to anoint me with oil and pray over me. God heals sick people today. He still heals sick people today. Now let me talk about that just for a second. When my wife was so desperately ill, and I'm watching her, we had a little, like a 4-month-old baby, I had a 9-year-old and a 6-year-old. And I'm watching my wife not knowing whether or not the next attack could take her life. And I watched her crawl up the steps because she was so sick that she couldn't stand up. And she's trying to, we had to bring someone in to help take care of the baby. She couldn't lift the baby. She couldn't hold it. Guys, I've seen sickness. I've seen my big, healthy dad still confined to a wheelchair. Not once have I looked at that and go, wow, what a wonderful thing God is doing. Sickness is of the enemy, and it steals, and it hurts, and it pressures people. And God is the healer of sick people.
Amen.
So if you've been taught that, I'll encourage you to look through the scriptures. But if you've been taught, well, this sickness, God put this sickness on me. When I'm talking about these counted all joy, I am not talking about that. And if you want someone to come down and pray, say, Alan, y'all pray and believe with me. Let's get this sickness off of me. I can't, because by the way, my wife is well today and she's whole today, and I'm rejoicing in you. So don't. Let's don't go too far with that. This joy is not whistling through the graveyard. It's joy because I believe I'm coming through it, and joy because I believe with God's help, I'm going to be standing in the end. Let me give a great verse, and you hear Paul's perspective on this. This is James, but this is Paul talking. He said, he's writing to Timothy, like his son. He said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. Some of you just found a new way to pray right there. Ah. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. He was trying to stop the gospel from going forward. At my first offense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But look what he said in verse 17. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preach fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Verse 18, I love this thing. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, that's a great perspective, isn't it? And I am going to come through this. You can count it all joy if you believe with God's help, I'm going to come through this situation. With God's help, I'm going to stay in a period of rejoicing. I'm going to stay rejoicing, because what that also does is it helps you stay strong. Now, let me just speak to those of you that deal or have been down or been depressed. If you've ever dealt with that, and I have, and I can tell you it was not a blessing, but I can tell you when you're down or when you're depressed, do you feel like doing much? And the answer is no. When you're down and depressed, every task looks big. Everything looks hard. Some of you, I know you're probably battling with that. It was even hard for you to get to church tonight. Be like, I'm going to go to church because I believe it will help me. But let me just tell you something from someone who used to suffer from depression, who doesn't suffer from it anymore. God could set you free from that too. And he didn't put depression on you. But when you want, but here's the thing, I've determined that when you have gone through depression, it's hard to get through hard times when you're down and depressed. But you've ever done still, when you've got a little bit of joy about you and you've got a little bit of hope about you, you're like, I'm coming through this. If you ever times when you felt like, man, I'm ready for this. I can handle this. I got this. The Lord and I got this. We got this. And that's a different perspective. What kind of perspective is that? You say, well, Alan, I wouldn't say that. That's not humble. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about me and God. Me and God, we're tight. Me by myself, not so good. Me and God, yes. And this is what Paul said. He said, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. That's way too close for me, but I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. He said, and the Lord will deliver me. Now, I want to give you an example of this. I'll give you two quick examples of joy in a trial and not so much joy in a trial. Let's look at the not so much first. This is Jesus and the disciples. You ready for this? Mark 4th chapter, verse 35 and 40. On the same day when the evening had come, he, Jesus, said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and the other little boats were also with him, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he, Jesus, was asleep in the stern, that's the back of the boat, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? We're dying here." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Y'all still here? Okay. Listen, all of us have been through problems this way. And the disciples did. Jesus said, "Hey guys, we're going to the other side." Notice Jesus didn't say, "We're going to the middle of the lake and we're going to drown." He said, "We're going to the other side." So you got Jesus' word, we're going to the other side. So the disciples were like, "Great, we're going to the other side." Now, they fall into a bad storm. Here is a storm. It is a bad storm. Jesus' disciples are probably looking in the back of the boat, and Jesus is sleeping. They're like, "How can he be sleeping? The waves are down. There's water coming in the boat. Jesus is sleeping." They're like, "How is he sleeping?" I know how he's sleeping. It's how Joy slept through the entire hurricane. Remember that when the hurricane hit us? What was it, Ike? Yeah. Man, I'm hearing the wind blow. I'm hearing stuff crack. I look over at Joy, she's sleeping. I want to wake her up and go, "Don't you care that we're dying?" Is she sleeping? And don't you know the disciples are looking back and both, "He can't be really sleeping in this. He can't be." And they're getting frustrated because the wind and the storm, and they're getting frustrated. And finally you hear what a lot of people do. "Jesus, don't you care? You don't care that we're dying here? You don't care." And Jesus got up. And notice he didn't pray, "Lord, if it's your will, end this storm. If it's not." Jesus got up, and the Bible said he rebuked. That means, "Hey, calm down. Be still." And everything got calm. The disciples were like, "Whoa." And then Jesus looked around and go, "Why are you guys so fearful? Why didn't you have any faith?" Don't you know they're like, I don't know, Lord. But do you catch that? No joy in this. And here's what happens, guys. A lot of times we go through problems and we start accusing God of not caring. And I've been doing this a while. I'm older than, I've been telling you, I'm 35. Y'all know that's a lie. But let me live with my illusion. I like it. I've been around long enough and I see people and they get upset and they get mad at God. It's not helping you. It's not going to help you come through. Getting mad at God, you're getting mad at the very one who can get you out of the lion's mouth. Getting angry at him is not going to work. It's not going to make him do anything. It's not going to make, I don't want them mad at me. It doesn't work. And I people come up and tell me that all the time. "Oh, I'm mad at God." I want to go, seriously? You got the wrong guy. Although I understand it doesn't work. Don't accuse Jesus of not caring. He was asleep. And he got up and he helped him and he dealt with it. But he asked him a question. He says, "Where's your faith?" What happens when we go through storms, guys? You know what storms do? Storms reveal where we are. I love y'all. Y'all love me too. Storms reveal where we are. You go through a hard time, it reveals how you handle it. It reveals where you are, faith-wise. Isn't this going to be a fun series? Right out of the gate. But it reveals things. Now I want to give you the disciples, and I'm going to give you another guy, Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas, a little different story. Paul and Silas are sent by God into an area to preach the gospel. Acts 16, 9 through 10. "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and a man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he'd seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. It was a supernatural vision, and Paul said, we're supposed to go there. We're going to Macedonia. So he's getting ready to go. They go to Macedonia, and everything is wonderful, except Acts chapter 16. Well, what they did was they cast the demon out of a girl that told fortunes, which ought to tell you something about fortune tellers. But they cast the demon out of her, and when they did, evidently, everyone knew immediately, uh-oh, this girl is free. She's not telling any more fortunes. Well, that didn't go over well. Verse 22, then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. And having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. That's a bad day. That's just a bad day. They tore your clothes off. That's embarrassing. And then they beat you with rods. Anybody remember when they beat that kid with rods a few years ago back? It was an Asian country. You remember that? Where was he? Singapore. They beat him too. How many times they beat him? How many?
15.
There you go. He probably stopped vandalizing from there on. Okay. Suddenly, but at midnight. Verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. No, they weren't. Yeah, they were. And the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, everyone's chains were loose. I like this. Now, come on, guys, listen. They're persecuted for preaching the gospel, and they're in prison. You have been beaten with rods. I was spanked as a child. Some of you were also. That's kind of gone out of vogue. But my parents hadn't read that book yet. It was Dr. Benjamin Spock who started the revolution of not spanking your kids. Anyway, my parents didn't believe in Benjamin Spock. And they used to spank me. They didn't beat me. But actually, I preferred when Dad spanked me than Mom did. Because Mom, when she got mad, man, it was like, uh-oh. Mom would just go off. Dad usually got me in the evening. Because you have to go, anybody remember having to go sit in your room and wait for your dad to get home? Oh. I can still hear the sound of the belt coming out of the... Some of you think that's child abuse. That's child abuse. Well, in 1960s, it wasn't child abuse. And so I was abused as a child and beaten. And I can remember getting after finishing a spanking, but I never felt like when I finished the spanking, okay, I can't sit down. I can't. My parents were rational people. They spanked because they wanted to teach me. We used to paddle to spank our kids. It was a paddle. It wasn't fiberglass. It didn't have a swing in it. We didn't beat our children. We spanked them, and then we prayed with them, and we helped them. Say, would you do it again today?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would. Not publicly, but I would. But I've never been beaten to the place where beaten with rods. When they would beat these people with rods, man, they would strap them across, and man, there was nobody calling anybody saying that this was abuse or this is inhumane, and they beat the stuffings out of these guys. And then they lock their feet in stocks so their feet can't move. Can you imagine what you're dealing with? And you're sitting there and you're just in pain, and every time you move, you feel that your backs are bleeding. You've been beaten and embarrassed. Your feet are in stocks. And these guys pray and sing hymns. Shout to the Lord. Oh, I don't know what they were singing. It had to be in Hebrew. But they were singing hymns to God. Now, can you see that Could they have done this? God, I don't know why we came here. I thought we were supposed to come here. And it's just, I don't know. I'm just trying to cast the demon out. The girl was possessed. I just cast the demon out of them. And all of a sudden, they're taking our clothes off. They're beating the snot out of us. I don't know why you sent us to this place. This is crazy. It's just not fair. It was, I had a lot better when I was Jewish. I didn't have to deal with this stuff. Come on, guys. I mean, could we have done that? I mean, could we understand that? But Paul, in the middle of that thing, I'm sure they didn't feel good. I am sure. But there was something in them that said, there's a God who sent me. My mission on earth is not done, and I'm coming through this situation. I don't know how we're getting out. They had no promise of getting out anytime soon. They could leave you down there. It wasn't like their lawyer was going to show up in a few minutes and help them out of it. They're in the middle of something. And they're praying and singing and just singing praises to God. And they weren't doing it quietly because all the prisoners heard them. And then there was an earthquake. Now, this earthquake was an act of God, because everyone's chains got loose and the doors flew open. Everyone got free. But can you see the difference between handling, Jesus, we're going under, you don't care, versus, Lord, we're just praying and singing hymns. Count it all joy. See, is that a reality? Yeah. As we grow in Christ, what we find we grow in is our ability to persevere through problems, knowing that the Lord's going to help us, knowing that we're going to come out of it. And we don't have to, man, we don't have to be down about it. As you really grow and mature in Christ, if you're going through a problem, the stronger you get in the Lord, the less people know what you're going through. There are some folks, you can walk in a room and know something's wrong. They just walk in, you're like, here they come. They bring that cloud, just kind of kill them in their room. Stronger we grow. Alan, is this series going to get any better? Yeah. It is. But James just starts right out of the gate. Count it all joy. What's that look like? Some of you are going through problems right now. In fact, I would venture to say almost every one of us has something that we're going through. What's it look like to count it all joy? Well, here's the one thing. You can say, Lord, I'm sorry that I blamed you for this. It's not your fault. Lord, but I ask you for your help. And I ask you to help me through it. And I believe you will. Because I believe you're a God that hears and answers prayer. And I know that you love me. I'm one of your children. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to come through this. And I don't feel like smiling. I'm going to smile anyway. I don't feel like praising you, but I'm going to praise anyway. I don't feel like it, but thank God I am not ruled and dominated by my feelings. I'm ruled and dominated by my faith in you. This help anybody tonight? Yes. Let's make it good. I'm glad. Say, Alan, is everything going to get better in life? Hey, listen, the Bible says we're living in the last days. And it said in the last days, perilous times will come. But we don't have to be afraid. We got a great big God. And we know how this winds up. We win. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? Father, thank you for this time. Thank you, Father, that in the middle of what we're going through, we can look to you, and through our tears or through our pain, we can count it joy and believe that you are going to help us come through. Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you that there's a promise that life can be differently because we choose to trust in you. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you came this evening and said, I do not have a relationship with Jesus, I've never asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of my life. Or if you're here and say, Alan, I've done that in time past, but I've gotten away from God. I know that and I want to come back to him. We're going to say a simple prayer sitting right in your chair. This is for you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. If that's you that I'm talking to, you say, I want a relationship with Jesus or I want to come back to him. Would you slip your hand up just across this auditorium? And we're going to pray. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Great. Thank you. Thank you. Our hands went up all over. Wonderful. You can put your hands down. Thank you. We're going to do what we said. We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand, but you really wanted to. You can pray this prayer with us. Pray right out of your heart. And we're all going to join you as a church family. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Now, Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer. And thank you, Father, for those that have prayed that prayer in time past and have come back. Lord, we're just grateful for what you're doing. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.